Hello, Friendship Church fam. We're living life in beautiful Shakopee, Minnesota at Friendship Church Studios. Thanks for joining in. Today, Pastor Matt Clausen and Joel Farber will share their perspective on what it means to have life in Christ. This is an episode where you will want to join in and chew on this topic with us. I'm Kenny White, inviting you to grab some coffee, buckle up, and enjoy the ride on this week's episode of your Friendship Church podcast.
Hey, church fam, Joel here. You know, our podcast focuses on worship and discipleship, right? Well, this week, our ministry team continued discussing a book entitled Deep Discipleship by J.T. English. And we're discussing and wrestling with a variety of matters from the book and currently chewing on the thought about everyone is being discipled. And who's discipling you? It's a great question to address. I'm wondering, who's discipling you? For some people, it's the random discipleship given by TikTok or Facebook or other social media. And for others, it is purposeful. I hope you are choosing purposeful discipleship. And we want to help you on this journey. We encourage you to attend our worship services regularly. And even more, join a life group. For more information, check our website or contact the office so that we can all know that our discipleship is purposeful and Christ-centered.
Welcome to our podcast. Glad to have you with us. You know, guys, before we jump into our topic, I kind of wanted to hit a couple of things, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I just wanted to get it out of the way. You know, I was looking at my insurance group, and I was trying to find a doctor, and, you know, there were a lot of doctors around me, so it was relatively easy to find a doctor, but it was hard to find a doctor in my group. And so I still don't have a primary care physician. And as I was looking at the list of potential doctors, which I have to go like crazy distance to find, I realized maybe the best way to find a doctor is not just from a list. Like, here, you can go see this doctor. Like, I realized that I'm not doing the background checks on my doctor.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. No, it's true. I think this is an important topic. You should do a background check on your doctor, shouldn't you? Like, hey, I want you to care for me, but I have no idea who you are, except for my insurance said, yeah, you can go see this person.
That's right.
That doesn't seem like a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing that is really bothering me about all this, that they call what they do practice. I don't like that.
As my wife will confirm, I haven't been to the doctor in at least 13 years.
What?
So background checks, unnecessary.
Oh, no.
I think you should. And you don't know, like, is this the first time they've ever seen somebody doing this? Yeah, we want to do a procedure on you. Oh, great. Is this your first one or your 100th one? Can I get some people who have done this? Let's talk about mm-hmm. this. That's how I feel about mm-hmm. it. How do you feel about it, Joel?
You know, I found a good primary doctor a couple years ago,
uh-huh.
and then he moved to Washington State, so I had to find another one.
That's a long drive to go see your primary.
I know. I found a new primary doctor, did great. He even did like a little small surgery, and it was great, uh-huh. and just a cool dude. No, I could trust him.
Yeah.
Had honest conversations, out of network. You know, start working for Friendship Church and out of network.
Ouch. Again, none of this really matters if you just don't go to the doctor.
Well,
I'm not sure what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know. I guess there's some peace of mind that I'm looking for here, Matt. I don't know.
Trying to change the status quo of men don't go to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah. I'm strong and I go to the doctor.
Right. That's right. And heads up, I do go to the doctor.
Yikes.
You know, just some things that we should be doing and checking into. Yeah.
Kenny, when people come and they listen to you preach on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
often they have taken an opportunity in order to listen or watch a sermon before they come. And to your point, I do feel like we should be able to go online and watch our doctors perform those procedures or surgeries before we
trust ourselves to the right. No, that's a really good idea. Yeah.
Kind of in the same sense, like, well, let me see how you did this the three previous times before I agree to let you cut into me.
Right. Oh yeah, or you get this video and he's cutting jokes and belching or something while he's performing this procedure.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I don't want this guy.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
You guys, anybody see where that Cheeto went that I dropped in there? I don't know.
That's right. Why they all have hype. They all have hype people. The nurse always comes out. Oh, you're going to love Dr. He's the best.
Hype people.
They got to have a hype. And it starts at reception.
You know, you're right. I never really
pay
thought
attention.
About that. Yeah.
Oh, you're here to see
Let's
Dr. Kenny?
Get
oh,
ready for surgery.
He's the best.
Yeah, that's right. We love this guy. And it's always a different person. The next time I go in, that person's left because they didn't love him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Joel. This is just what's been going on in my mind.
Yeah, and I know why.
It just goes on in my mind. I wonder about these things because I care. I care. And speaking of caring, you know, this brings us to this topic of discipleship because we do want to dig in. We do want to know more. We want to get it. Currently, our ministry team, that's our directors and pastors, we're going through a book called Deep Discipleship by J.T. English. And in that book, there's this question, and it's preceded with a statement. Everyone is being discipled. So who's discipling you is the question. And I've just really been chewing on that truth. You know, Matt, you shared this book with me, I don't know, maybe before Christmas even. And so I started looking at it and kind of glancing through it and been wrestling with that. Like, everyone is being discipled. So who is discipling them? And I'd just like you guys to kind of jump onto this and talk with me about it. How do you see this playing out? Everyone's being discipled. So who is the primary discipler in our world right now? Or where are we getting our discipleship from? Mark said go.
I mean, it does seem that Romans chapter 12 would indicate that whatever we're dedicating our minds to, that is the direction we are sending our life. And if we want to be transformed by Christ, that means the renewal of our mind. And so we are all being formed by whatever we are putting into ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason that Romans chapter 6 says, hey, don't dedicate your members, I think is a word for kind of your bodily extremities, your eyes, your ears, your mind. I mean, what you have that is in your body. Don't dedicate those members to sin. Dedicate that to the Lord because you're going to be formed by whatever you're putting in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be Jesus. That can be SpongeBob. That can be Bob Vila.
Right, right. It could be endless scrolling on whatever social media you're in.
Yeah, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of places, you know, even in the last year, you know, a big disciple making place or schools, right? I mean, there's concerns every which way around that. And a lot of kids shifted to being schooled at home with, you know, the pandemic happening and their parents being home. And that actually could have been a really cool opportunity for parents if they took it, you know, to really disciple their kids when they weren't doing school stuff, right?
Right.
But, you know, a lot of discipling happens in young people at schools or when they go off to college or apprenticeships or work, you know, where you work, like the people you surround yourself even, whether at work or not, are inadvertently discipling you in some way, shape, or form. And so, yeah, you know, a bad word for discipling is peer pressure, kind of, right? And some of those connotations. And you can easily be discipled into doing things that you shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I think I might be going on a rabbit trail, but that's where my mind kind of goes when I think about worldly discipleship.
Right, right. Cindy used to sing a song to the kids when they were little, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see."
Mm-hmm.
For the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I was just thinking about this accidental discipleship. So what we're talking about then is purposeful. So we have to be very purposeful. And maybe even another word is disciplined, which is a little bit found in the word disciple. Disciplined to get the right kind of discipleship. So, you know, as we were digging into this book, as we have been digging into this book, and as we continue to look at it, one of the challenges that we're seeing is, where is discipleship, like biblical discipleship, where is that coming from, and how is it being lived out? So what I'd like to do is just take a moment and maybe each of us just share briefly a time in your life where you were under discipleship, you were being discipled by someone. And I'll start just to give you guys a moment to kind of think through that a little bit. I can think of two main times in my life where discipleship, biblical discipleship, was happening very purposefully and progressively. And by progressively, I mean there was step one, step two, step three, step four. And it started when I first came to Christ. The pastor at my church, he said, "Hey, Kenny, I'd love to take you out for lunch and hear your story." And that started a series of, I think it was about 18 months of weekly getting together with him. And he would just go through, like, teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to read the Bible, showing me what to look for, giving, taking me out to visits at the hospital or in home, and doing some things like that progressively as we went, as he saw me ready for that next step, and then eventually giving me an opportunity to give a short lesson in church, and then he sat down with me and critiqued it and went over stuff both before and then after. That was early on in my walk with Christ, and just submitting to his authority and his process. It was tricky. It was difficult. I was a new believer, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And so in many ways, I didn't look like a believer. I didn't act like a believer, you know. So being under his tutelage was huge. And then the second time was in ministry. There was a guy who was my pastor. I was his youth pastor, and he just, again, systematically walked with me through some stuff to get victories, to hold my feet to the fire with scripture, and then challenged me in some areas where, wow, I thought I had it all figured out at 28 years old or whatever. And he just walked with me through it. And sometimes he was very gracious, and sometimes it was just like, because I said so, and I just need you to follow. And it was like, I don't, you know, my flesh didn't like that, but I learned these incredible lessons from him. And anyways, those were two times where in a relational way, I was submitted to someone's authority to purposefully disciple me. Mm. I don't know. Do you guys have any stories like that? And maybe discipleship can look, I think, a few different ways, but those are some for me.
Yeah, when I was in college, we had a couple different ministries on campus, and one that I was a part of, one of the leaders came and he's like, "Joel, I want to disciple you." I'm like, "Okay, I don't know what that means 100%. So let's try it." And basically, he was just kind of grooming me in a couple different ways. One, you know, we would do Bible study together, and he'd teach me, you know, how he goes through the Bible and doing devotionals and things like that. He discipled me in accountability and what that looks, and how to hold people accountable and how to be accountable, be teachable, kind of as a disciple. And, you know, one of the scariest things that he did with me, and it was just terrifying, every time we did it, we would purposefully go out and talk to people about Jesus. Mm. Not like, "Hey, I'm, you know, I feel like I should talk to this one person randomly about Jesus this one time." But like, we went and talked to anyone about Jesus.
Wow.
And getting into those conversations was super awkward every single time, never felt comfortable, but every single time coming out of it was super cool. So he was intentional in that. And I think it was, it helped me kind of confirm and affirm the foundation of my faith and what I believed, and being able to express it to people clearly. And so those are a couple of things that he did to help form me as a young man. It was cool. It was fun and scary, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's a little bit of the story.
So I like how he coupled scriptures with doing. You know, I think so many times when we think of discipleship, we think of information and getting and, you know, like I'm going to read the scripture. Okay, that's good. Now I know this information. So I love what you're saying, that he took you to the next step and like, no, if Jesus matters to us, then we should be talking about Jesus and let's
right.
do it.
Right. And some of the intentionality there was, it was basically a discipleship tree. So he would find a couple leaders to disciple and to bring into leadership with the ministry, to lead Bible studies or whatever within the ministry, and then to then have those people on that leadership team reach down and start discipling other folks. So not only discipling, but teaching how to disciple. So that was cool.
I think I would go a slightly different direction back to the family that I grew up in, because mm-hmm. our parents are primary disciplers in our lives. And when I say primary disciplers, I mean they play a large part in our formation for good or for ill.
Right.
And they are constantly molding us and shaping us towards something. Sometimes that's healthy and sometimes it's incredibly, incredibly unhealthy. But my dad was always very intentional about playing the role of discipler in my life. It wasn't just, hey, let's take you to church and pray before meals. There were a lot of times where he would, at ages 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, hand me books and say, hey, let's read this together and have some fun discussing it. And so we'd read C.S. Lewis or J.I. Packer or Neil Anderson or whatever, and we would spend time then discussing those things together. And there were fishing trips that were a lot of fun catching fish because he loved to fish, but there was also like 9 hours in the boat that day and some intentional questions that, mm-hmm. you know, now I'm able to look back and say, oh, yeah, these are questions that like he'd planned on asking as we went out and spent time in the boat together. And just even when I left the home and was having greater difficulty, there were intentional times of him writing what I'll call epistles to me, right? This is pre-email because I'm
right.
that old. And
mature.
He's writing six, seven-page letters as I'm going through challenging times, just letters of encouragement, letters to help strengthen. And so I think that there was a really intentional discipleship aspect to our relationship, which is something that I think I've tried to remember as I parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I keep looking at Jesus' words. You know, so he goes to Andrew and Peter, and he calls out to them, and he says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That's Matthew 4:19, and in doing that, there are some things that occur to me there. First of all, he calls them, "Follow me," and we can get into the context of the first century and all that. We're not going to do that today, but just at a high view, "Follow me." There's this choice that they have to make in their mind, in their head. Okay, am I going to follow him or am I not? There's a choice. Do it or don't. Hmm. And then Jesus says, "And I will make you." And so there's this work of Christ in our lives that I am so against this do and don't do for behavior modification's sake, this reward for doing good, this, you know, punishment for doing bad. Although I would say that I'm a high rewards person, I'm motivated by rewards for sure. But Jesus' comment, "I will make you." It's this transformation. It's an issue of the heart, and it's his work. It's not our work. And so it transforms our motivation, which takes him to this next point, "And I will make you fishers of men," being on mission with Jesus. And so if I'm thinking about it, it goes from my head, I have to make this decision, to a transformed heart by the work of Jesus. And from this transformed heart, now I'm on mission with Jesus. And that's this piece of discipleship that I guess I'm looking for, one in my life, who's that generation or two ahead of me that I can lean into? And then who are those people? Obviously, my children are some of them, but then who are those people in my world that I can and should be discipling? And so that's where I'm at right now. And as I'm transitioning here into Minnesota and looking at my own discipleship journey, that's where I'm at. And I guess I'm sharing some of this, you know, the is philosophical. This is how I see discipleship. And if I'm defining it, that's the passage. That's my go-to passage. Mm. But then also, I'm asking for prayer. Like, this is what I'm looking for. So
I think that passage resonates well with Jesus' selection of his disciples. And in Mark 3:14, mm-hmm. We're told that he chose 12 so that they might be with him. And so the first step of discipleship is that he chose 12 people to just be with him. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. come and be with me. Then the next sentence, I think, is, and so that he could send them out to preach or proclaim, mm-hmm. right? And so there's this sense of come and be with me. And as you're with me, the natural outflow of being with me is you're going to go out and talk about me.
Right.
That is the fishers of men portion, yeah. Of what Matthew 4 talks yeah. about.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, you know, guys, thank you again for just engaging in this conversation. That's really the purpose of this podcast, has been the issue of our life as worship and our lives in discipleship. And so for those of you listening in, we want to thank you for joining us. We want to encourage you to follow Jesus and watch him as he makes you a fisher of people and transforming us from our head to our heart to our feet. And so as we go from this place, God bless you. Let's follow Jesus in discipleship as we learn to live, love, and serve like Jesus. God bless you.
Discipleship is not easy, and accidental discipleship is often the default. The problem is that this leads to a worldly attitude and often lacks the supremacy of Christ. We want to encourage you to be purposeful and seek discipleship and seek to disciple others. If you've enjoyed this podcast, more episodes are available. See you next time on your Friendship Church Podcast.